You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. The Thursday night throwdown has begun. Season on the brink style, as the Toronto Raptors season was on the brink after a devastatingly epic pass from Kemba Walker. A dagger in the Toronto Raptors' hearts. With 0.5 seconds remaining, it appeared as though that the Boston Celtics were going to take a 3-0 series lead. OG Anunoby drills a three-pointer at the buzzer after one of the best passes in basketball history, literally and figuratively. You've got Grant Hill and Christian Laettner and the shot, and now you've got Kyle Lowry and OG Anunoby. The shot 2.0, a basically 50-foot pass, 17 yards, all right? Like, think about that. Like, 17 yards, and oh, yeah, over Taco Fall. That's right, and suddenly we've got a series. Game 4 is going to go down Saturday evening, 6:40 Eastern time. Speaking of going down, well, I'll tell you what, the Denver Nuggets went down faster than a Kardashian at an NBA All-Star party. The LA Clippers roll 120-97, final score 23-point beatdown. And you know what? The Los Angeles Clippers do look like the best team in basketball right now, as Kawhi Leonard is on a mission. You can talk about LeBron James, and we will talk about LeBron James over the next couple of weeks, because he's going to have his hands full with the Houston Rockets. But Kawhi Leonard, you know, LeBron is the king, but I tell you what, man, Kawhi's coming on and trying to take that crown, isn't he? So the Los Angeles Clippers dispose of Denver easily, although Denver will put up a little bit better of a fight, but you know they can't win the series. Are we going to run the gauntlet? We're breaking it down. Pete Annapolis is going to join us, former UMass assistant coach. We're talking hoops with Pete. Teddy Covers, a.k.a. Ted Savransky, back in a rotation, joins us from Las Vegas, Nevada. We're going to kick it with Living Room Lindsay. We're talking Kentucky Derby, the Meadowlands legend. Meadowlands Lindsay in the house. We got it all, man. We got bucks. We got hoops. We got horses. Sports Rage Late Night has begun. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you, because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
I'm a rageaholic. I just can't live without rageahol.
Sports Rage late night. Bring it. Vent your rage. I am Gabe Morenci. I got to tell you, man, there's so much stuff to get to. I don't even know where to start. It's crazy. Basically, Andy Dick on New Year's Eve crazy. Where do we even start? Overtimes, buzzer beaters, comebacks. It's just all you can say is sports, 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 sports. Go sports. Go sports. Listen, man. Look, yesterday, it's hard to even keep up with this stuff. So what was it? 2 days ago, we had a game 7 with Denver and Utah. And it was like crazy, crazy, like all over the place. They were diving for loose balls. It was like the first one to 80. it was a 2-point game. Remember the sequence at the end? There was like a missed layup and then they went all the way back and Conley's 3 nearly went in and it ended up being a 2-point game. And then yesterday we had 2 basketball games. They both end up being 2-point games yesterday. All right. Controversial endings. Jimmy Butler scores with 0.0 on the clock. I don't know if I've ever seen that in an NBA game, to be honest. That's some college stuff. You'll see that in college, Bush League call in college, 0.0 left on the clock. No one was even there. Shoot 2 free throws to decide a game. There's just been one sort of controversial call ending Oklahoma City and Houston, 2-point crazy game at the end. And then you get today, Toronto Raptors and the Boston Celtics, another one. So we had 3 2-point games in a row. And then today what can you say? Season on the brink, literally and figuratively. Let's bring in Pete Yiannopoulos right now. Pete, it's been a wild 48 hours in the NBA bubble. And, with the exception of the Clippers and the Nuggets, man, we've had just 3 crazy intense basketball games. And it really does have a March Madness feel to it, doesn't it, Pete? And you know all about it, being at UMass. So, but it really does have that March Madness tournament feel to it, in which, no one wants to get eliminated. You know what I'm saying? It's just been some great stuff. But I got to tell you, man, the Raptors season was on the line, season on the brink. Kyle Lowry's pass to me. You got Grant Hill's pass, and now you got Kyle Lowry's pass. 2 of the best inbound passes in the history of basketball.
Yeah, no question about it. It does feel like the NCAA tournament. It feels like a FIBA World Cup or Olympic style of tournament, being a neutral court, everybody in the same hotel. But mostly, as you said, the NCAA tournament. How about game 7, Denver-Utah? Denver up by 2. They get the stop, and then they try and score right away with 10 seconds left for the layup. He misses. They come back on the other side, and Conley almost hits a 3 at the buzzer to win it. What a blunder that would have been, an NCAA-style blunder. But I think right now you have to give a lot of credit to Toronto Raptors. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. They were done. I mean, if you watch the game, the Celtics controlled it most of the game. The Raptors were lifeless, specifically Pascal Siakam in foul trouble. Norm Powell didn't have a good game once again. Serge Ibaka didn't play really well. That's why Nick Nurse went with Marc Gasol to finish the game late. But I think they were really saved by 2 guys. Kyle Lowry, 46 minutes, 31 points. Fred VanVleet, 41 minutes, 25 points. You need your guards to produce. You need them to make big plays. And they did, specifically in the second half. And they were down by 4 with just about a minute left. They got a couple of stops. VanVleet ties the game. Kemba Walker, spectacular pass to run down the clock with Tice with the dunk in 0.5 seconds. I thought it was over. But as you said, the pass that will always be talked about. Kyle Lowry over the 7'6", or he called him 7'12", tackle fall on an OB catch and shoot. What a game. The champs are still alive.
You know, you raised a lot of interesting points in here. And, you know, even though the Raptors won, they didn't really win. They basically bought themselves some time. They dodged a bullet. That's what they did. They dodged a bullet. And I was hoping that Siakam would play better today. And I just don't understand it. Like, why is he taking so many stupid fouls, meaningless fouls? You know, he's taking himself off the court. He's taking himself out of an offensive rhythm and groove. And he's helping put in the Boston Celtics in a bonus all the time as well. It's been very, very frustrating. And let's be real, on the pass, it was a blown assignment by Siakam. He was supposed to stay with Theis. He doesn't, right? He doesn't. And, like, it would have been a nightmare. Like, it would have been exposed that Siakam was the one that blew that defense. There was no reason for him to leave. And he did, and he ends up leaving an open man there. And you saw Lowry sort of put his hands up like, oh, my God, what did you do? And you know, somehow they hit this shot right now. They've just bought themselves some time. What's wrong with Pascal Siakam right now? I sort of thought that he's getting burnt on a defensive end and he's getting frustrated. But there seems to be more to this. Like, what, in your opinion, what's wrong with Siakam? How come he just can't get going? And it's not just like missing shots. It's his body language and everything. What's wrong with this guy?
No, you're right. And he hasn't been right since they got into the bubble. I think the biggest weakness right now for Siakam is he has no trust in his jump shot. It's flawed. He's taking it off the wrong foot. He's fading backwards. He's not letting the game come to him. He's forcing it. He's awkwardly attacking the basket and taking offensive charges. Some of them are not even close. I mean, like, you know, Van Vliet and Lowry are attacking the basket, and sometimes they get called, but, you know, they're so bang-bang plays, and they usually could avoid him. Not Siakam. Nurse still trusts him. I think there was signs of improvement of life in the second half, but I think the reason why he was a little bit more productive in this fourth quarter is because he stopped shooting from the perimeter. I mean, taking these long twos, taking threes off the wrong foot early in the shot clock, and then he's trying to attack in the post, but he's starting his move from the three-point line, right? So they got to get him moving. They got to get him cutting. They got him getting near the basket where he can catch and finish. And I think the Celtics are doing a tremendous job getting back on defense and limiting the transition for the Raptors. The Raptors, if you watch closely, Gabe, they're struggling to score in the half court. If they're not running, I mean, thank God Lowry was on his game today, forcing a lot of shots and drives that went in. We saw a little bit better ball move in the fourth quarter. I think that's why Gasol stayed in the game. You saw that they were able to use the screen, use him, some backdoor cuts. But Siakam right now, I think not only is physical, but a lot of it is mental. You just see him. He's not really there. But at the same time, there's no time here to try and find yourself. You better find yourself because it's game four. And if we lose the other day, the series is going to be over really quickly.
That's exactly right. They're back, right back. The Raptors are right back into the same position that they were in before today's game in a must-win situation. And, you know, they're right back. It's really how Boston responds to this. Yet there was some signs from the Raptors and a shot like this. Listen, things can change in a hurry, man. Look, you know, just ask the Utah Jazz. You know, the Denver Nuggets looked lifeless and just didn't have it. Looked like they just didn't have that next level. And, you know, look what happened, even though they got drilled by the Clippers. Yet, you know, I see the same things. But let's talk about OG Anunoby here a little bit. And while Siakam is struggling, he has stepped up right now. And it's funny because the other night people said, well, if OG's the Raptors' leading scorer, then they've got problems. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's just his time right now, and it's his coming out party. And I find it ironic, and I guess somewhat fitting, that he's been compared to Kawhi Leonard so much. And it's unfair, you know, unfair comparisons, but just about his versatility, great defensive player, could potentially be a great, you know, very good offensive player as well. And, of course, Kawhi Leonard hit, you know, the biggest shot in Raptor history in beating Philadelphia. More Pete Yiannopoulos and Teddy Covers joins us as well on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Rage. Sports Rage late night. I am Gabe Morenci. Shout out to all of our radio affiliates, wherever you may be joining us tonight. We got a stacked show. Pete Yiannopoulos kicking it with us right now. RDS television analyst, former assistant with the UMass Minutemen. We also welcome back one of our favorites and one of your favorites as well, stepping up and in from Las Vegas and Nevada, the one and only Teddy Covers. Mr. Covers, great to have you back, Teddy. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us tonight.
Hey, my pleasure, Gabe. Morenci, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, good stuff, Teddy. Great to have you back. So Pete's going to hang out for one more segment, and we'll kick it with Teddy as well. We're just still picking up the pieces and buzzing. What a wild 48 hours it's been in the National Basketball Association. So a couple of things here, Teddy. We'll get right down to business, and I'll throw it back to you, Pete. So, Teddy, you know, the Raptors win this basketball game tonight, but it's almost like the movie. I don't know if you saw the movie White Man Can't Jump, and Rosie Perez has a famous line. Sometimes when you win, you really lose, and sometimes when you lose, you really win. She got all philosophical about gambling. But so the Raptors, did the Raptors win tonight, or they just sort of, they dodged a bullet, tonight. But things can change. So me and Pete were just talking about Siakam's struggles and how, you know, he just can't seem to get out of this funk that he's in. How do you see this series moving forward? Are the Raptors in this thing right now, or is this just to delay the inevitable? Because Boston were the better team again, but the Raptors found a way. And championship teams find a way, even if it's not pretty, Teddy. What's your take moving forward now?
So I have only one question for you. I'm going to throw it right back to you, okay? Do any of the four second-round series in the NBA reach a Game 6?
Yes.
Because I say no. I say, you know, Toronto won their game. I don't think it changes the trajectory of the series at all. I don't think that Milwaukee can win more than one against Miami. I don't even know if Milwaukee's going to win. I wouldn't count on them winning tomorrow. You think the Lakers, the Rockets can beat the Lakers twice? Maybe. That's the one maybe you see the Rockets take that to six. Denver's not taking the Clippers to six. All these series are over. And, you know, one of them hasn't even, you know, hasn't even started yet.
Pete? Teddy comes in, the rain man here. Rain's on the parade quickly. They're all over. Pete, you know, I was going to say, yeah, sure, six games. Raptors win the next three straight. That's six. I do think the Raptors-Celtics is going to be a long series, actually. Pete, what do you make of Teddy's comment?
Well, I think that the Boston Celtics have proven that they have the offensive arsenal to really score at will, and it's making it very difficult for the Raptors to fight them back offensively, especially if the Raptors can't run in transition. They're struggling in the half court. I think the Celtics are still the favorite here just because of the way they've been playing with Kemba, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum. What an off game, 5 for 18 tonight. His first really off game of the playoffs. But I think that the Raptors just needed that one win, and they played much better in the fourth quarter. I think they'll play really well in game four because now they have that confidence that they just won a game. I think this is going to be a longer series. I think no question Denver is outmatched against the Clippers. That looks like it's going to be 4, maybe 5 games. I'll tell you what, you know, the Rockets and the way they play, they're going to give the Lakers problems. I mean, I'm sold on LeBron and Anthony Davis, but I'm not sold on Caldwell-Pope, Danny Green, Caruso, JaVale McGee, and Dwight Howard against this team. I think that the Rockets have the ability to take the Lakers deep in a series. And you know what? If there's ever a series that James Harden is going to really step up and stop his playoff struggles, it's this one. So I think that one's going to go long. And I think I would agree with Teddy, man. Milwaukee just looks out of sync. You know, Giannis is not delivering in the fourth quarter. And the complementary players, I mean, Bledsoe, Lopez, Middleton, you know, Hill, Connaughton, nobody's performing well. Nobody's shooting that ball. They don't have the home court advantage. But I think that, hey, you never know what's going to happen in the bubble. But the one game that you do win is the Raptors. I think this is going to give them a lot of confidence heading into game four.
Yeah, I look at this, Teddy, for the Raptors and the Celtics series. Obviously, you know, it's cliche to say they need to win. They need to win Saturday. But if they do make it 2-2, I do think they're going to go on to win the series. As good as Boston has looked, things can fall apart quickly and in a hurry. And, you know, the key is Siakam here, Teddy. You know, can Siakam, will he play as poorly as he is in every game in the series? Because, you know, it's been pretty bad, and it's a problem for the Raptors. Like, you know, OG has been saving them.
Well, he sure saved them tonight. I mean, he saved the season tonight, in theory. But I don't think it matters. All right? One of the things I've really been trying to do for all of these playoff series is if I'm drafting, all right, and I get the 3 picks or 4 picks, and I can pick anybody on any team, who am I picking? So with Toronto, Boston, my first 3 picks are all Celtics. They're underdogs in the game, again, in game 4. You know, I mean, playoff basketball is about the elite player stepping up, and Siakam was a great player during the regular season. He's never been the guy in a postseason before, and the Celtics have made it their business to make sure that he's not getting clean looks, and they're giving him all kinds of problems, and that's not going to change. Brad Stevens isn't going to turn into an idiot in game 4. Boston's the better team. Toronto was last year. Boston is this year. I don't think it's that close. I think the Celtics will blow them out in game 4. I really don't think that, you know, that, all right, you stole a game on a miracle. That's the win you're getting, Gabe. Enjoy it.
Wow.
Well, can I say one thing, Teddy?
Yeah, bring it up, Pete.
If I would just say one thing. if you look at game 1, Marcus Smart goes 5 for 9 from 3. They win that game, but they would have won it without those threes. Marcus Smart goes 6 for 11, 5 threes in the fourth quarter. They win by 2 in game 2. Marcus Smart tonight, 2 for 9, back to normal. If Marcus Smart is hitting those threes like he did in the first 2 games, yes, I'll give it to you. But I don't think he will. The Raptors, you could argue, could be up 2-1 here if Marcus Smart doesn't hit 5 consecutive 3-point shots in the fourth quarter in game 3. In game 2.
Couldn't disagree more. I couldn't, because remember, Toronto is the defending champs coming off a loss. During the course of the season, I think they went, 15-5 in that role. They win these games. So you have max intensity Toronto in game 2 and max intensity Toronto in game 3. Now you've got max intensity Boston in game 4. You see what I'm saying? The Raptors have played the best they can play. They don't have any other gear than what we just saw. And I know the Celtics have a better game than game 2. And I know the Celtics have a better game than the one they had tonight. You know, Boston has the upside here. That's my take. I'm wrong sometimes. You guys don't. I'm wrong a lot of the time.
I totally get it. I totally get it. And you know what?
That's how I feel.
I'm never wrong, so I'll talk.
Yeah.
Kidding. I've been wrong. But, you know, I thought the same thing with the Oklahoma City Thunder earlier in the series. I'm like, dear God, these guys are just overmatched. And I said, Teddy, they need to play perfect basketball just to be in the game. Like, if Houston hit shots, they can't win. Yet, It ended up going seven anyways. It ended up going seven anyways. So you mentioned something, Teddy, but they're doing a good job. And that's one thing that the feeble minds amongst us will do, and especially the social media. And I think basketball produces the worst takes, Pete, out of all the sports, bro. So people will be, oh, this guy sucks. You know, Siakam is sucking. Oh, he's not a star and this and that. And not bringing up, like Teddy said, Pete, the fact that the Celtics are doing a good job of not letting him get looks. And, you know, the guys over at Sports Grid, the Daily Roto crew, the analytical, real smart math university guys, earlier in the day, you know, we were talking online, and they were about Kyle Lowry, and they basically said, Kyle Lowry hasn't had a clean look. And he goes, trust me, I've got charts in front of me that prove it. And he goes, Van Fleet's missing open shots. So talk to me, Pete, and we got a couple of minutes here with you left. Talk to me, Pete, about the job Brad Stevens has done, because he really has done a good job. It's not just the Raptors' offense not clicking, is it? Like, it's Boston actually taking a lot of stuff away from the Raptors by basically funneling Kyle Lowry off. Talk to me about what Pete Coach Stevens is doing.
Well, what Stevens and the Celtics are doing are taking away transition from the Raptors. How they're doing that? Number one, they're scoring efficiently on the offensive end and getting their defense back. But whenever they miss, they're sprinting back on defense, and the Raptors are the number one team in transition offense this year. They're struggling in the half court because, as Teddy mentioned, they don't have that one go-to guy that could create a shot very easily. They thought Siakam was that guy. He was in the regular season, not really delivering here in the playoffs. The Raptors have essentially seven starters with Ibaka, Norm Powell, but they're all equal in terms of the ball has to move and have to get good looks. So if the Raptors can get out in transition and build any type of cushion and get a lead, they play better that way. I don't think the Raptors have really played that well in the last couple of games. But again, credit to the Boston defense. Everybody talks about the offensive juggernaut that they have, and rightfully so. But they're ranked fourth in defense for a reason. They're taking away the sweet spots, not only from Van Vliet, from Kyle Lowry. They made him a driver tonight. He hit some tougher threes, but they're taking away Siakam's sweet spot where he likes to pump fake and go underneath. Whenever Siakam's trying to show the ball, there's three the Celtics defenders swiping it away, and he's getting into foul trouble with charges. So that's what the Celtics are doing on the defensive end.
Teddy, I don't know if you remember when we spoke probably about 3 weeks ago, and I said, you know, one of the things I like about the bubble and the hub, I was talking about the NHL playoff hub, I said the lines never change. I said, they don't change even with the games, and we see that with Milwaukee and Miami. So we'll get into this with Teddy Covers on the other side. Pete Yiannopoulos, great stuff as always. I wish we had time to even get into the Steve Nash hire. Questionable hire by general manager Kevin Durant of the Brooklyn Nets. Hey, listen, I love Nash, but I wonder about this. If the Knicks hired Steve Nash, people would rip them. Pete Yiannopoulos, you're the best. Thanks, Pete.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
My name's Bobby and I am an addict.
Hey, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Okay, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it.
Sports Rage Late Night. That's why we have Teddy Covers with us to help us prevent the bad gambling that goes on here on the show. that's what Teddy is here for. What a night. What a night. What a night in the NBA. What a night in the National Hockey League. Double overtime. Philadelphia Flyers extend their series with the New York Islanders to game 7. The Vancouver Canucks down 3-1 to the heavily and overhyped Vegas Golden Knights. And the Vancouver Canucks rolling out third string goaltenders and now send that series to 7 games. You know, we've got Dallas and Colorado going 3-7s in the National Hockey League.
Because that's good, because Teddy's saying the NBA's done. It's over. Move on to the next round. I tell you, though, Teddy, this Clipper team, I think we might agree on this. The Clippers, they look like the best team in basketball, don't they?
The Clippers' A game's better than anybody else. No question. I don't say no question, but based on my numbers and based on my eyeballs, the Clippers' A game is better than anybody's. Yes, agree.
Yeah, they're the team to beat. They're the team to beat. You know, they've got such a good roster, but you've got like really good players that are just role players, and then you got Kawhi. It's very difficult to deal with, and you've got a good coach, in Doc Rivers. But you know, Teddy, I remember everything, so I want to pat you on the back, and we'll pull a Barry Horowitz here. I'll pat you on the back and tell you, great call. You predicted. You said. I remember, Teddy, we spoke. You know, you've been gone for a couple of weeks, so I remember the last time we spoke, it was right before the series started, and you said the Miami Heat over the Pacers is the one I like the most. You said they're going to roll them. They did. Double-digit win, swept them, four games, and now they're up two games to none on Milwaukee. Do they keep this rolling right now? What do you make? Because remember, I even told you, I said, you know, one thing, Teddy, but it's cool about the NHL is I keep getting these underdogs at the same price, even though they're winning games. And like the Vancouver Canucks, they're going seven games, Teddy. So they played six games. They've won three of them. They've been plus 170 or more in every game, Teddy. It's like they're plus 210.
My buddy was just texting me, asking me what the line was for tomorrow. I'm like, it's going to be in that same -250 range. You know, he's like,
it's crazy though, Teddy. Isn't
the value
it?
On Vancouver is ridiculous.
They're 3-3. It's like, why? You know what I mean? So where I'm going with this is the Heat are getting 5 points again.
So the biggest bet I've made since the bubble started was Miami in game one at +6. And after winning that bet, I made the same size bet for game two on Miami. What, I get +6? I think I got +6.5. You think I'm not taking the Heat game three? The series is mispriced. All right? If you look at the stats for the full season, yes, the line is where it is. It should where it should be. I don't care what Milwaukee looked like in February or December. Or no, but that's not Milwaukee now. I don't care what Miami looked like in February. If you're telling me that stats for Miami in February and December matter now, because that's what the markets are doing.
It's a whole new world now.
I made the decision at the start of the playoffs. I threw out every power rating. I said, you know, because I watched, you know, me and you were right there with me. I watched those bubble games like a hawk, those seeding games, every one of them. You know, every day I would sit in front of the TV watching NBA hour after hour. And you know what? It paid off because I made it, you know, I'm like, these are my power ratings going to the playoffs. Forget everything that happened before. This is what the numbers are now. And going into the series, I had Milwaukee favored by one. You know, I'm like, I thought, you know, I didn't want to overreact, but that's what I thought. But, you know, if you're just basing it on the now, right now I got Miami, the pure power rating number should be in Miami -1. And I'm getting Miami +5. So I'm going to make bets like that all day long, win or lose.
Teddy Cover, Sports Memo, kicking it with us. So, Teddy, Houston and the Lakers, and it's a good point that you raise. What do these regular season meetings mean right now? And I got to be honest with you, I don't remember what the Lakers looked like. It seemed like it was so long ago. They beat the Blazers. So, like, when in that game, like, a long time, it feels like, since the Lakers have actually played basketball. To be honest, but you know, they played in the bubble. They played in a bubble. Houston won 113-97. What did that game mean? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The Lakers were mailing it in during the bubble. And once they clinched, they were mailing it in. They played February 6th. Houston beat them 121-111. Lakers beat them 124-115 in January. So in the three meetings that they played, two of them went under the number. And Houston won two out of three. Yet we have sort of another two-man operation here that we just saw the Lakers destroy a two-man operation with the Portland Trailblazers. Are you buying into the Lakers sort of, you know, getting better as we go along right now. And they were pretty banged up, right? So they have had time to heal and rest up right now. How do you see this series playing out?
So this one's the, if again, if there's a series going to six games, I think it's this one. All right. I really think Boston beats Toronto in five. And, you know, again, Milwaukee might get one. But I call Miami in five. And Denver might get one. Call that one in five. You know, this one could go six. Because we don't, you know, we don't trust the Lakers outside. The Lakers have the two superstars. And other than that, yeah, there's a bunch of guys that we don't trust. A bunch of guys that haven't played together. A new backcourt, a backcourt that's got moving parts and moving pieces. And Rondo. Rondo might be back tomorrow, which is always interesting, you know.
Yeah.
Playoff Rondo's, you know, can be a very special player. Can be an absolute difference maker. But the Rockets. Yeah,
Rondo and Tucker. Rondo and Tucker getting into it's going to be good. Because they will, trust me.
It's going to be a well, and Tucker's the key to the series for Houston. You know, if Tucker can do something to neutralize the Anthony Davis in some way, shape, or form,
that's
not
what
neutralize,
I want to
but
ask you.
To keep him
it's
from absolutely dominating every possession.
I swear to God, Teddy, as you said this, as you were talking, I just was looking up. I'm like, let me see what the box score was when they played in the regular season, not the bubble game, the regular season with AD, because that's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Who the hell is going to stop AD in the paint on this team? Are they what? They're going to put Covington on him a bit to try to bother him? Like, what? You know, like, what are they going to? They got serious size issues. Like, we know they play micro ball, but now they've got to deal with some big dudes. LeBron's a big guard. He's not a guard, but you know what I'm saying. You might as well be. He is. And you've got AD. You got two big dudes. How did Houston deal with that?
I think it'll be problematic for them. But the Rockets have the X factor. They have a double X factor. One is that there's going to be a game where these shots fall. You know,
exactly.
Houston hasn't had a game yet where they hit 20 plus
and
threes.
And the Lakers
you know,
are
and
not
then
a good
they will.
Point
and they're going to. Yeah, exactly. So that's X factor number one. And X factor number two is that for as much of an edge as LA has in the paint, you know, this might sound crazy, but the. The Laker who matters to me in this series, Danny Green, you know, where's he been? Where's he been all year? This is Danny Green time, you know? Guy's got rings. He's someone that they need on the perimeter to hit threes. He's someone they need on the perimeter to match up defensively against opposing three-point shooters. I don't know. What, does he get relegated to the end of the bench? I know everyone hates Vogel's rotations right now. And they're going to be weird and stay weird because – it's such a jumbled situation where when you replace both of your starting guards, you know, 70 games into the season, it can get a little weird. And the Lakers were just starting to play well against the Blazers when they had the situation in Kenosha and the everything got canceled for a few days. And then it restarted again, and then they were off again. I mean, really, that was the first time in the entirety of the since they went in the bubble. The Lakers look good, like more than one game in a row, and they beat the Portland 2, 3, and 4. If we see that Laker team, Houston's not winning a couple games. But if we don't, and we see the backcourt issues, and we see the defensive lapses, maybe the Rockets steal a couple.
I'll tell you what, last year in the playoffs, Danny Green really struggled offensively as well with the Toronto Raptors. He hit a few timely shots, but not many, to be honest. But he's a good defensive player. So, you know, and they trust him, right? Because as you stated, he's been in championship games. He's been around. He's got pedigree. So they just sort of hope eventually he's going to hit a shot. But it doesn't happen. And, you know, it's a good point. The Rockets are going to try to turn it into a three-ball fest. And it's fun, but it's hard for your threes to hit like that 4 out of 7 times. It just is. Yeah, it's gonna be tough. And for the record here, we're looking up. So Anthony Davis, this is in their February matchup. I threw out like the meaningless bubble game here, just for the record. Yeah, it was 14-21 from the field, Teddy. And 4-5 from the line, 32 points, 13 rebounds. I think this is what we're gonna see. I think it's gonna be his box score.
And that's and so it's certainly when you talk about props, I wouldn't hesitate to bet some overs there. But yeah, let's go back and that's so. Which game are you looking at? February.
Yeah, yeah.
They played February, once in February and once in January.
February the 6th. 121,
with the stat that I'm most interested in is total rebounds. Remember, the Rockets won that game. But six offensive boards for Houston. And a whole lot more than that for the Lakers. No. Lakers had no edge on the boards in that game.
38-37,
one offensive rebound
I see.
For Anthony Davis.
Yeah. 38-37, yeah. I see on the board, yep. Surprising.
And I would think it might be that's a weird-looking stat right there because one would think that the Lakers should get a lot of second-chance opportunities.
It'll be a fun series, though. It's going to be fun. They're not like, it, you know, look, dude, like that Denver – that Denver Clipper game was not fun. You know what I'm saying? Like watching the Clippers
with the
maul
Denver
Dallas
Utah series. That was fun. Great. That was great basketball.
That was. So and listen, I don't think Denver. You know, like you said, I think Denver can win a game. But you know, do you think Denver can cover some spreads? Because I, you know, coming off a 7-game series, new matchup, this had kind of blowout written all over it. I'm a sucker for an underdog, Teddy, and even I didn't bet Denver at +9.5 tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Me neither. But we just talked about how we thought the Clips were the best team standing right now. And my general rule of thumb in the NBA playoffs is I want to find reasons to, games to bet on the team that I wanted. I think is the best team. I'm not looking to bet against the Clips in this series. Maybe
they put it up.
The Nuggets might have a game.
Eight
of course
half.
It is.
So I'm
the numbers aren't going to change.
There it is. I know.
Yeah. They're not. They're with the point spread at the start of the series is the point spread for the series.
Teddy Covers kicking it with us. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll just say goodbye to Teddy on the other side. We'll have about 2-3 minutes. We'll see if we'll get Teddy's quick thoughts on college football. Already some upsets, some big upsets, actually. Look, we gave you South Alabama plus the points. I wasn't sure they were going to win the game outright. Central Arkansas cover as well. Ironically enough, it was the game that everybody thought was going to go under that went over. And then the Southern Miss, South Alabama game stays under by a couple of points. Wrap it up with Teddy on the other side. Sports Rage Lake continues. Thank you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
All right, level one has just flown by because we've got great company tonight. Thanks to Pete Annapolis for kicking it with us. Teddy Covers, joining us from Las Vegas, Nevada right now. All right, Teddy, we got a couple of minutes before the top of the hour. College football has begun, or at least, degenerate college football has begun. And, you know, I had South Alabama plus the points, but I also had the over. In the game. And I got a bad number at 55.5, but I would have lost anyways because it was 53.5 before. It looked like Southern Miss was going to score late, and I thought the game was going to go over the number. But nevertheless, so listen, next time we talk, it'll be next Thursday, and the NFL will have been played, right? We got NFL football around the corner. Any opinion on the college card or any word of advice for the football cappers tuning in? To the show right now. Are you touching any of these college football games this weekend?
Yeah, I got involved in one, and I'm looking at another one too. This is one time of the year in these circumstances with these type of teams. You pay attention to the sharp money. You know, the sharp money was all over South Alabama tonight, and the sharp money's all over Arkansas State against Memphis on Saturday night. That's definitely one that I would look at plus the points. And of course it's a Red Wolves team. You know, what do they have? 9 straight bowl seasons now or winning seasons? I mean, the program's good. They've got talented QB. They can score. And obviously, if you're talking about a team that's you're trying going up against Memphis, and you're asking your team to cover, I don't want the defensive team against Memphis. I want a team that can get the 4 or 5 touchdowns. I think Arkansas State can. So lean over, lean Red Wolves on Saturday night.
Teddy. And quickly, Teddy, one thing I've noticed, so even though the South Alabama and Southern Miss game stays under, they did get to 53 points. The other game, Central Arkansas and UAB, and hey, UAB defense, everyone talks about, they got to 80 points. So, you know, maybe this defense could be ahead of the offense thing doesn't affect. I mean, college kids never had preseason games to begin with, right? So I wish we had more time, but Teddy, no, it's great to have you back.
Hey, pleasure's mine, Jay. Cheers.
SportsMambo.com, Teddy.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21+.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.